Welcome back to another episode of Vente al Cafecito. I hope you brought your cafecito and you're ready to dig into today's topic. Today, I want to talk to you guys about mental prisons. But before we do, I just want to share what has been going on with me. Last week, I didn't upload an episode because last minute Friday, so my grandmother's birthday was August 19th. My grandmother that lives in Mexico, she turned 72 years old. And I had been toying with the idea of going to Mexico for a few months now for her birthday. But every time that I would look at the tickets, they were just so expensive. And her birthday is August 19th, and I was starting my new job that Monday, August 22nd. So right now, if you're not aware, a lot of flights are being canceled, and there's a lot of they oversell the flight and you end up getting left and having to be put on a different flight. And it's just a disaster right now at airports. And I was afraid of that. I was afraid that if I went, I was going to get stuck in Mexico and I wasn't going to be able to come back in time for my new job. And then, it was so expensive and I really wanted Aiden to come, but I just couldn't afford it. That's the honest truth. I just could not afford it. So Friday, I did arrange to send my grandma flowers, and she received the flowers, and then she sent me a picture. They sent me a picture for the flowers. I spent the whole day at the salon getting my hair done, and then I received the picture. And on my way home, there is this song by Banda MS called La Casita. And for some reason, this song just gives me so much nostalgia. I wasn't born in Mexico. I was born here. My entire life has been here. But I feel, like I've said in other episodes, I feel such a deep-rooted connection to Mexico because of the amount of time that I spent there. I spent every single summer when I was a kid there. I had real friendships, real connections, real relationships. And I have this deep connection to this place. So it also feels like my home. And when I heard that song on my way home, I just started crying. I hadn't seen my grandparents since before the pandemic. And I was supposed to see them in July when I went to Mexico, but I didn't get to see them because of work and different circumstances. So on my way home, I was just crying. And I was just I look at my bank account and I had exactly enough to cover my bills for the rest of the month. And then what I had left over was what I needed for the flight. And I was going to have to go by myself. So I get home and my cousin is watching Aiden for me. And I tell her, I think I want to go to Mexico. And she's like, well, what's stopping you? And I was like, well, I don't know. I just think I want to go. And she's like, well, when? And I was like, well, tonight, because they were having a party for her the next day. And she's like, well, I'll take you to the airport if you want to go. So at this point, it's about 7 o'clock at night, I want to say. And I had bought food, so I'm eating it really quick. I'm looking at flights, and there was one flight that left at 11:40 at night and got me there at 5 a.m. because Mexico was 2 hours ahead of us. So it got me there at 5 a.m. So it was an overnight flight. And I call my mom. I tell her what I'm planning to do, and she's like, go for it. So I buy the ticket at 7:30 at night for an 11:40 flight. So I'm literally packing super fast. I'm putting everything in my duffel bag and my gym bag. And I'm just packing everything. And she takes me to the airport and I make it. And while I'm on my way, while I'm getting into LAX around 9, my brother calls me and he's just so you're going to Mexico. And before this, I had been telling him for weeks, let's go to Mexico. He was like, I can't work and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, let's just go. And he didn't want to. I didn't want to go alone. I really wanted him to go with me. I didn't want to go alone, but he didn't want to. So I didn't even call him to tell him when I was actually doing it. So my mom told him. And then around 9 p.m. as I'm getting into LAX, he's like, check to see if there's still flights. I was like, oh, shit. He's thinking of coming. So I do. And I call him and I'm like, there's still flights, I get off of the airport. He's like, okay, well, let me see if I can find my passport. So he goes home. He can't find it. And then I remember that I had a passport in a place in my room. So I call him, check here. Passport is there. My mom packs a bag for him. I am in line because I have to like TSA wasn't letting me go through because I didn't put my middle name on the when I bought the ticket. So I had to go back to the line, and it was just like in line at 10 p.m. buying his flight. And he is like trying to make it to LAX. So at this point, he's like coming from work. Like he didn't even have time to shower. Like he literally came from work. My mom packed a bag for him. He picked it up and like booked it to the airport. He was like speeding to the airport. So he gets in, parks, and he has the same issue with the middle name. So I was like, check to see what happens. And TSA thankfully let him go through. And LAX at the Tom Brady or Bradley, whatever it's called, terminal. I always love to fly Alaska, but this time the flight there was on Volaris, which I fucking hate Volaris, but it was on Volaris. So our terminal was super far. And I'm just sitting there like on the floor because it was so packed. And I'm just like waiting for him to get there. And at this point, I was like, I hadn't heard from him, you know? And I was like, it's far, like you're gonna have to run. And he was like, you know, whatever. Like he was like, trust me, I'm gonna get there before you do, and blah blah blah. And like I was like, all right, well, let's see what happens. I'm sitting there. I was like, you know what? Let me go buy a water for him because I know he's gonna come over here. He's gonna be tired from running. I buy the water, I sit down, and I look up and I see him. He ran for 15 minutes straight to get to the terminal. He is like dripping sweat. And I was like, damn, he really made it. Like, I could not believe that he made it, you know? So it was so exciting. You know, me and him haven't traveled alone in a really long time. And we used to do that as kids all the time. So it was really exciting to do that. And then, you know, we made it. And then we surprised my grandmother. And it was such a wonderful experience. We were literally there for 24 hours, you know. Oh, God, I'm tired. We were there for a little over 24 hours because we left the next day on Sunday afternoon. And luckily, everything went perfectly fine on our way back. We made it on time, and we made it back, and I was able to start my first day of work Monday, August 22nd. And I go 2 days to the office. It's an office in Fullerton, 2 days into the office, 3 days from home. And it went like really, it's going pretty well. I haven't worked full time in a really long time, but it's going pretty well so far. You know, we'll see. I like it. I'm glad to be back to working full time. I am excited to get that paycheck again because, you know, being a student and not working and living off a part-time salary for a long time was not that fun. But thankfully, this opportunity came to me, and I'm just so grateful. But this and made me like think about today's topic. I was having a conversation with my mom about how sometimes we get stuck in places and situations and certain belief systems because of our own mental prisons. We had a family member who was wrongfully accused of a crime, and he was in jail for a few years in Mexico and then here, and then now he's free. You know, he proved his innocence, he's free. But my mom always says, like, he has certain reactions sometimes. And my mom says, like, you're out of prison, but you're still in prison in your mind, you know? And that just got me thinking how sometimes we just get stuck in these system and belief systems from when we were growing up, and we don't even know like where we pick them up. And it could be with anything. It could be with, you know, belief systems about money. Like personally for me, my parents did not show me how to manage money at all. Like at all, at all, at all. I had to learn that the hard way. I had to learn that like the real hard way when I was super young, and I just did not like take care of my credit. And I like if I tell you everything that I did, it was just stupid and dumb. And I have this belief system of like you have to work super hard to get money, and you don't. You really don't. If you like, ever since I changed that mentality, things have come to me a lot easier. Like I remember the first time when I was like 21 or 22, I don't remember, when I got my first bonus, and it was like a $5,000 bonus at the time, but you get taxed, so it was like maybe half of that. I couldn't believe that I, like me, little me, like got that bonus. I just could not believe it. And now it's like I get much larger bonuses, you know? And I mean, obviously, like my work is different. Like I've really put time into my career and going to school and learning and doing all of these things, but I've released that belief system of like money is difficult to come to me. Like I literally will manifest whatever amount of money and it will come to me. Like I am that confident in that because I have broken that chain. I have broken that belief system. And it's my mom is now like that too. Like she has been able to master that because we've had so many conversations where before, like she would always have that same system. Like she would always be like, oh, I don't have money. I don't have money. Or like having to like borrow money to cover bills or whatever. And like now she doesn't have to do that at all. Like at all. She has been able to truly manage that side of her, that like, you know, release that belief system. And like, even for me, like in romantic relationships, I had never saw a healthy relationship growing up ever. Like my parents got divorced when I was 10 years old. All of my mom's siblings have been divorced or separated and remarried and divorced and separated, you know, multiple times. On my dad's side, all of his siblings have stayed married, you know, but I don't interact with him as much as I do with my mom's side of the family, just because none of them truly live here. You know, everyone lives in Mexico or in other places of the country. So I never saw the way a man should be loved, like the way a woman should be loved, like genuinely. You know, my dad is like, or was a womanizer. Like he literally was, and I'm sure he's proud of it, you know, like, so I never had that belief of me like truly deserving a loving and caring relationship. And I've always been like, I always want to overgive. Like I always want to prove that I'm valuable. And I always want to like be so heavily invested in the other person and just been like, give and give, just like, you know, pick me. I'm worthy. I'm worth it. When in reality, like my worth is not defined by that. You know, I shouldn't have to be like that. I shouldn't have to chase that. So I had that mentality for such a long time. And it's something that I struggle with to this day, where I get so heavily invested and I want to put like, and that's so much pressure on on the other person as well, because everyone is carrying their own issues and everyone is carrying their own stuff. And whether we'd like to admit it or not, you know, every single person has something that they have to work through or that they've gone through. And so imagine having that pressure of this like person, like, I'm so in love, I want this, I want that, like right away. Like that is not healthy. So that's something that I'm working through with my therapist right now, because I realize how unhealthy that is for me. Because then I expect those same things in return. I expect me from other people, and it's not really feasible sometimes. So I've been thinking about all of this a lot, because I'm really trying to be more present and more in tune with who I am and what I want out of life. For example, something my therapist gave me the homework of enjoying things more, like just sitting down if I'm gonna have a meal and enjoying that meal. Don't like be doing 5 million other things. It's like stuck in my mind where I've been like, okay, if I'm eating something, I like really stop, really enjoy it, really think about what it is that I'm eating. I don't want to be stuck in these like old belief systems that no longer serve me and that never served me. So I challenge you to think about what are the things that are keeping you stuck. What are the things that you're carrying from your childhood or from people around you that don't belong to you, that you can just let them go and release them and really work on finding out who it is that you are without all of that? You know, it's great to have these things where you say like, oh, I'm just like my mom, I'm just like my dad, I'm just like that person. That's beautiful. But try to also focus on the positive things. Everyone has negative things that they do, and you don't have to be carrying those negative things around with you. You know, there's a lot of aspects of me that I was very much like my parents, and I had to slowly start breaking those patterns. And the other thing that I've thought about too is, like, you know, I believe in prayer, I believe in manifestation, I believe in all of these things. But if you're not ready for those things, you can pray your heart out, you can manifest, you can journal, you can talk to the moon, you can do a fucking rain dance, whatever it is. If you are not ready for those things, then they're not going to come. I truly want to get married. I want to have my own family. I would love to have another child. But those things aren't happening for me right now because I'm not there yet, because I'm not ready, because God is still working within me so that I can be that wife, that mother that I truly want to be. And I mean, I am a mother and I love my child and I am complete now. But that is a desire that I truly have. And I have to understand that if it's not coming, it's because I'm not ready for it. And that's hard because I've said multiple times on this podcast, I am like the most impatient person there is. Like, I want things now. Like, I want my happily ever after now. I've already been through enough. I've already been through enough heartbreak. Like, I want these things to happen for me already. But part of having your faith, a part of believing in whatever it is that you believe in, is understanding that God is going to make things happen when the time is right. When the time is right for you and for the people that are meant to be in your life. And sometimes you just have to be in seasons of waiting and until that time comes. So I hope you guys have an amazing week, guys. And, you know, let's have a conversation about this. Reach out on Instagram, on TikTok, and let me know, like, what are these things that you feel like are holding you back? And you know, what steps are you taking to try to break free from them? Because everyone deserves to live a happy and free life and to be able to do whatever it is that makes them happy. So I will see you guys in the next episode. Don't forget to bring your cafecito. Bye.